Today on Real Life Radio.
Isn't it wild you can open the Bible? Oh, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, you better start believing in the Bible. It's got a bunch of contradictions. Find one, just one, and you'll be a billionaire. You'll be the first person in all human history. Find one.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know that the Bible has a lot to say about the future? Our future. It's called Bible prophecy. And never before have current events come together so perfectly as to align with biblical prophecy. That's why I want to tell you that on Sunday, June 26th, Pastor Jack's going to have a special event that you're really going to want to be a part of. It's called Israel, Russia, and the Coming Global Reset. What's next on God's prophetic time clock, and what can we expect to see happen? The event will stream live on all Sunday services, so mark your calendars right now for June 26th at 8 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 1 p.m. Pacific Time for a very special Bible prophecy update from Pastor Jack Hibbs. To find out more, visit jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series on the book of Revelation with a message called Take Your Positions, Everyone, Part 1. Now, here in chapter 15, the scene is set for the final coming of the seven judgments of the Great Tribulation period. But before we look into the future, let's look back to what's been promised to the church. You see, the church has been promised deliverance from that terrible time of devastation. Still, Jesus never promised to keep us from difficulty or from persecution and hardship. While we're still living here on earth, we will have trouble. But true followers of Christ, we're not to worry. We'll be delivered from God's final wrath and judgment. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God is always faithful to leave us a witness of what he's about to do. Signs that are shown to us either from heaven through current or historical events, or shown to us through his word, the Bible. Now in his message called Take Your Positions, Everyone, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
What is Israel? Where is Israel? Is there an Israel? And we need to answer those questions. And we did that in our study, chapter 12. Get the CD. Study it later. As we studied that chapter, we came to the second sign, the second wonder. And that was this red, fiery dragon who, verse 9 of chapter 12 says that it's none other than Satan himself amassing the world together. A demonic gathering of nations. You've got to ask yourself a question. In the last days, so just in the last 100 years, has there been a gathering of nations in coming together? You got to answer both those questions. Is there an Israel, and has there been an attempt to unify nations together? You got to answer that. And by the way, you already know the answer, but I'm just challenging you right now. The amazing thing about this is you and I have our Bibles open right now. You and I are living in a time and an age where we can say, yeah, wow, ever since May 14th, 1948, Israel has been a nation. Interesting. The woman with the 12 stars. And ever since the mid-80s, there's been the European Union, the gathering together of the USE, or the United States of Europe. And they're coming together. In fact, they're now even looking for a leader. Like the United States has a president, we need a figurehead. And the finance minister of Belgium said, I don't care if he comes from heaven or from hell, we need a leader. Okay. The Bible calls him the Antichrist. What an amazing, you say, well, I don't know if I believe it. That's okay, you don't have to believe that. Just put it off to the side, think. But one thing you must believe, there is a nation of Israel existing, and Europe is trying to come together under a United States of Europe. Watch what happens. Well, the Bible says the Antichrist is going to enter into the world on a cry for peace. Things are coming together. Why? God is setting the stage. And you and I are not exempt from the stage being set right now. We're still here right now. Don't be naive. Everything that's happening in the politics of the world, God is over it. He's engineering it. Don't think that. You think God left the destiny of nations to us? He presides over the affairs of men, says the Bible. Everything's coming, you know, you might say, everything's falling apart. No, everything's coming together just the way God wants it to come together. We may not understand it. And then you see that there's now a European United States agreement to globally unify the universal barcode for instant, spontaneous U.S.-European transactions monetarily without any cash at all. Interesting. We live in a tremendous time, and I want you to keep this in mind. God has always been faithful to leave us information or a witness, always. We can open up the newspaper and then open up the Bible and say, wow, look what's going on. Look at the players that are in the news. It's Israel, the Temple Mount, Iraq, Iran. That's the region of ancient Babylon. All these things. You know our soldiers right now are in Babylon, the biblical Babylon? Did you know that when they mentioned Mosul, like when we went through our study in Jonah, anybody remember the name of the ancient name of Mosul? Nineveh. We have troops in Nineveh right now. Isn't it wild you can open the Bible? Oh, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, you better start believing in the Bible. It's got a bunch of contradictions. Find one. Just one. And you'll be a billionaire. You'll be the first person in all human history. Find one. Well, my grandmother said they're in there. Did Granny show you one? Remember it. You may not be the first opponent of the Bible. There have been great men before you that have tried to shoot down the Bible. And they all died, either A, hardened against God, or coming to know God. Be careful what you do with the Bible. The Bible says of itself in the book of Hebrews that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide between the bone and the marrow, the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. The Word of God. It's not the Word of man. It's the Word of God. And God has always left us a witness. What is referred to in the Bible, what is referenced in the Bible, you can see in history. You can see in science, in linguistics, in biology. It's there. In verse 1, we learn also that the Lord interrupts the human events that take place in life. It says seven angels have seven plagues. Can you circle the word plague there? When I say that the Lord interrupts human affairs or human events, what do we mean by this word plague? It's not what you think. You know the word plague. When we think of the word plague, we think of what? Like disease, bubonic plague, AIDS, the diseases that are coming back. You know, we thought we had these things whipped and now they're coming back. Stronger than before. That's not the word here. It's a very unusual word here that's used for plagues in the Greek. It's the word in Greek, plague, and the word means this. It's a judicial act. It's the act of a judge. It's not a plague in the normal thought. It's a judicial act, an unusual word meaning to quickly strike, like an executioner's blow against the neck of a criminal, to drop the axe. It means to wound a man beyond repair. It means to remove a person suddenly because of their wrongdoing. It's a judicial act, though. The word is specifically used for this portion of Scripture, judicial. It's God the judge standing up and saying, that's it, time's up. I don't know about you, but don't you have a hard time with the evils of this world? I know some of you won't even turn on the news because you don't want to just be sickened by it. And I share that with you. It's pathetic. When you see the things that are going on in the world, now look, put yourself in the very place of God for a moment, which is not a good thing to do. But you put yourself in the place of God, and right now, think about the abuse that's taking place of children right now. What about women right now who are being beaten, senseless, even to death right now? Take that, not just LA County, but take it around the world. USC Medical Center, Children's Hospital, children, where the doctors are, I don't know how they do it. If you're a doctor, my heart and hat goes out to you. I tell you, the doctors, the lady comes in with her kid, doesn't know how this happened, but somebody took a razor blade, single-edge razor blade, and cut the eyes out of the baby. Where does this come from but not from hell? It's hell. As I mentioned last week, or a couple weeks ago, when that woman cut the arms off of her child. Insanity. Personally, I don't know if a human can think that. I honestly don't know. I know humans can do a lot of bad stuff. I think there reaches a point where it's demonic thoughts in the lives of people. I think a human's pretty bad. We're pretty fallen. But I think a man or a woman can reach a point where Satan or his powers take over and people do things that are of hell itself. Now, what do you say? Yeah, that's why I don't believe in God. Don't fall for that trick, my friend. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. He energizes people who don't know God, uses them against others to get you to turn on God. You look at the wars that are going on. That's why I don't believe in God. That's why I believe in God. God said there'll be days like this. There'll be times like this. There'll be years like this. Men will be lovers of themselves and they'll be ungodly and they will kill one another. That's what the Bible says. And God is reaching out and he's saying, and it's getting quieter by the moment, yet he yells, I love you, come to me. And people's hearts have gotten so hard that they don't even want to think of forgiveness. They want to think of retaliation and vengeance. It's a pathetic time. This is all taking place as we are here right now, and the Holy Spirit has not even stepped aside yet. The Bible says that when the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit will step aside. And the evil one, a reference to that man, the Antichrist we've been talking about, he will be released. And all manner of evil will come upon the earth like we have never imagined. And the Bible tells us that evil will be demonically energized. Demonism. But the Lord will interrupt human affairs, human events. And he's going to do it, this last plagues. And there's seven of them. And they're going to be this judicial response by God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 103, verse 9, he will not always strive with us. That is, God will not always put up with man's ways. God's going to intervene. And there's a comma at that verse. And then it says, nor will he keep his anger forever. You guys, that's an amazing verse. It's Psalm 103, verse 9. That verse says God will not always be patient. Church, is he patient right now? Oh, yeah, because if I were God and I saw somebody cut the eyes out of their kid, I think I would open up the ground and swallow that person, or maybe I would think of something more painful. But God stays his hand. And you say, that's injustice. Why doesn't he do something? My friend, he is doing something. And it's going to be better and more righteous than you could ever think. Well, why doesn't he do it now? I understand that frustration, but God's not human. He knows something we don't know. He will not always strive with us. Man, if you're not a Christian this morning, the Bible says your sins are still upon you and God's putting up with you. And you go, I don't think he's caught on to what I'm doing. Hey, Mr. Sweetie, whoever you are, he knows. And don't think because of the grace and the patience of God that you've escaped his view. He knows. Oh, what I do in secret, doesn't bother anybody. It's bothering him. What you think you're doing in secret, put Jesus on the cross. You need to run to him and say, I'm sorry for putting Jesus on the cross. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. And he says, all right. Yes. But can you see that? That verse goes on to say, nor will he keep his anger forever. That means there's going to come a time when God's anger is appeased. That time is the culminating days of the great tribulation period when God's judgment is poured upon the earth. And men will be judged for their sins. Verse 1 goes on to say and reminds us, for in them it says that the wrath of God is made complete. This means that God brings a conclusion to world affairs. He's going to intervene. He's going to interrupt it. It's going to be tremendous. It says, therefore, in them, that is, in the plagues, the wrath of God's complete. Now, please don't think that God is somehow weak because he's got to act against sin. Well, why doesn't he just forget it? Okay, all right. I'll answer your question by first asking you a question. Let's pretend for a moment. I'm going to talk to you guys for a moment. Guys, we have our homes where we live. And let's say you're married. Maybe you're married, maybe you're not. Let's say we're all married here for a moment. And our wife, we have kids, we've got kids. And at 2:15 a.m., a maniac comes into our home and chains us to the bed. As men, we can't move. We can't get to this guy's throat. We can't defend our family. We're now stuck. And he turns on the lights, brings in his friends, and they drag in before you your family. And in front of your eyes, they begin to mutilate and torture your family for hours. And your neighbors hear the screaming and all, but the police come too late, they're dead, you survive, they're arrested, they're carted away. Finally, it comes to trial. And the judge sits. And you're looking to that judge to exercise what? Anybody? Justice. And you're waiting, and you hear the testimony, and you hear this, and the defense attorney says, well, you know, my clients, they were on a drinking binge. That's why they did what they did. And then one guy who held the blade, he was abused by his mom. That's why he did what he did. And the guy that did all the burning with the implement, he was made fun of when he was in school all his life. And so as I've considered these excuses that have been offered up, as a judge, I come to this conclusion, representing the state of California and the constitution of this state and its laws, I am judge. And every one of us have a bad day from time to time. And I think these men had a bad day or a bad night. And I think they've learned something, and I don't think they'll ever repeat this again. And so I'm going to release them. They had a very bad night. And they're released. I want to ask you right now, was justice served? Don't give me this song and dance. Well, you know, it would be okay with me because Jesus said to turn the other cheek. Not about this. Did you know that? In fact, the Bible says if you do not provide for your home, you are worse than an unbeliever. Well, I provide money. That's not what the verse means. Think about it. We would expect earthly judges to exercise judgment against evil and wrong, but we will not let God, who is altogether pure and holy, who sin put his son on the cross. And we want to rob God of exercising justice by which he must do because he's holy and pure. My friend, the justice of God and the wrath of God that is coming upon the earth during that tribulation period is not a sign of God's weakness or him losing his temper. It's a declaration of his divine holiness and purity. Because he's God, he cannot let sin slide. See, you and I are prone to grade on a curve. And that's our system today, isn't it? It's horrible. God will exercise judgment. Look what it says here in verses 2 and 3. There's the worth of God in that he's a deliverer. It says, John says, I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, and he lists the great victory over the beast, or the image, over his mark, and over the number of his name. Remember that 666? We've already studied all that stuff. Now look what they're doing. They're standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses. Well, that's interesting. You ought to underline that. What's with that? The song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Well, the song of the Lamb I can figure out. I can read the song of the Lamb back in chapter 5. It's the song of the redeemed. And by the way, the song of the redeemed for any generation, it's basically the same song. The song of Moses. You know what's fun about this? We need to put this all in context. Remember back in our previous Revelation studies? Remember the 144,000? Do you remember something interesting about them? They're 12,000 men who come from the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember that? Interesting. You see kind of now how it's starting to come together where it's God focusing on Israel in the 7-year period of time. He calls out 144,000 male Hebrew-speaking Jewish evangelists, 12,000 from each tribe. The focal point is Jerusalem itself. There's a remnant called out of Israel that believe in Christ. And here we see that once they die for their faith in Jesus, John sees them in heaven, and they're standing upon what appears to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and they have a song. It's the song of Moses. Why would they sing a song of Moses? So you're thinking, when did Moses either sing a song or write a song? Well, it's going to take you to two chapters of the Bible. You can mark it in your margin if it's not written by the publisher already. Exodus chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Those are two chapters of the songs of Moses. You say songs? Yeah, they're two songs. Chapter 15 deals with Israel's joyous, exuberant praise of God, having been delivered from Egypt. Listen, going through the sea, right? On the other side, being delivered by God. The Red Sea, which, by the way, our whole Bible study begins this spring on the Red Sea in our tour. That's where we kick off our tour, on the Red Sea. God parted that. The children of Israel went through, and they sing about it. And they celebrate God's great deliverance. I highly encourage you, though, to read Deuteronomy chapter 32. It's almost more accurate in relation to chapter 15 of Revelation. Why? Because it sings of a deliverance even greater than that of the waters of the Red Sea. Could it be that the song of Moses is a song that incorporates both the deliverance of Israel from Egypt through the water, but also in prophetic manner, Israel's deliverance out of the fiery Great Tribulation period through martyrdom? It could be.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Take Your Positions, Everyone, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. This message called Take Your Positions, Everyone, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Well, we have Pastor Jack today in the studio talking about June's book of the month, Disciplines of a Godly Man by R. Kent Hughes. To be honest, Pastor, I feel like discipline these days has become, you know, lost art.
Yep.
Not only with our busy schedules, but also with time wasters, you know, our phone, distractions. Would this book be good for those who struggle with discipline?
Well, it's the book for those who struggle with discipline. And let's all be honest, we've got more things distracting us now than ever before in human history.
Yeah.
And those are things, by the way, a lot of them are self-imposed. They're like self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah.
We look at our phone, we look at our device, we see what's going on. We it's something that is just stealing, it's robbing from us.
Yeah.
But no, this is a tremendous book. In fact, I'd like to put it to you this way, that it's not only a book that men should get to read, but for young men. Dads ought to get it. Grandpas ought to get it for the young men in their lives.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But how about this? What about young women? What about women? They ought to get this book to find out what it is to have a godly man.
Ooh, good point. Yeah.
To encourage their man. See, the title, we think it must be a book for men and men only.
Yeah.
I think it's a book for everybody. Imagine right now, for example, if a young woman read this book, before she gets married or begins dating, she begins to realize, holy cow, this is what I need. I need to look for a man like this.
Hmm.
I mean, this is just an all-around awesome book about how to identify even what is a godly man.
Do you think this book would be a good one to go through as maybe a congregation or a team that you lead, something like that?
This is a great book for small groups. This would be a great book for a men's group, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But then again, I just said a moment ago where the fact that it would not be odd, in my opinion, that, say, a women's ministry or some gals got together and said, let's take a look at this book called The Disciplines of a Godly Man and find out what a real man is.
Yeah.
Because today, I don't need to talk to our viewers or our listeners about this, is being a man is under attack.
Mm.
It's been under attack for decades.
Yep.
And we're looking now at a culture where there are very few men, and we're suffering because of that.
Yeah. Disciplines of a Godly Man, it's available right there at our website, jackhibbs.com, for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. Order your copy today. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.